topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to continue with part 8 of the good news regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, incorrectly Matthew. Overview. The first book in the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matthew or Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. I will share this in the next few broadcasts. This is part 8. I continue to read Matthew and offer commentary. Note that Matthew is the Hebrew word translated Matthew and means gift of Yah. So you see the name of Yah embedded in the name Matthew, which is completely lost with Matthew. Finally, and this is one of about 100 names in the Bible that have Yah embedded in them. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So today we're going to look at chapters 24 to 26, and starting 24 verse 14, and repeating, "This good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the spokesman of Yah, stand in a set-apart place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Yehuda flee into the mountains." So, good news of the kingdom to all the world. That's apparently taking place right now through Christian outreach. The problem is it's in the false names, false Sabbaths, a whole lot of false doctrine, worship of Jesus, worship of the Bible. That is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. In the set-apart place, the temple of the set-apart spirit, the believers. It's really important to understand the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. That was the end of it, folks. The Yehudai missed it. Yeshua came to fulfill their foretellings. He fulfilled their foretellings. They killed him. And even after he was resurrected, they didn't get it. The mantle was passed from them and will never return to them, despite what a lot of people are teaching. The mantle passed to Christianity that has filled up the measure of Yah's wrath with all their false doctrines and false teachings, the worship of Jesus, and so forth. And now that mantle is passing to a generation who will have individual personal relationships with Yah without belonging to any club or any doctrine or any denomination or any religion, but directly relationship with Yah. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return to take back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is the anointed one of Yah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise anointed ones of Yah and false spokesmen of Yah, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It's important to understand that there are huge number of people who think they believe who don't, because they believe in Jesus, they don't believe in Yah. And the destruction that's spoken of there took place in 70 AD. We're in a different era now. It's no good looking back 2,000 years, things that were foretold for the immediate future. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they shall say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret place, chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Adam be. For wheresoever the dead body is, there will the vultures be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Adam in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Adam coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great kavod glory. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Destruction and so forth has applied many times since Yeshua died and will continue to apply more dramatically in the balance of the final millennium. The actual coming of Yeshua will only happen if there is at least one believer free of sin, in right standing with Yah, and with full anointing and clear understanding of their authority as a believer to call for Yeshua to return. This can only happen after Satan is released from the pit in around May 3003, about 979 years from now, 2024, refer to the previous reference. What we have there is the so-called rapture, the taking up of the believers to join Yeshua in heaven with Yah. And it's important to understand that we're talking there about something that is scheduled to happen nearly 1,000 years from now. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But that day and hour knows no man, no, not the messengers of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Adam be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Adam be. This is, as I said, it's a long way away. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Adonai doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable speaks again of the religious leaders of the current age. There are a huge number of people who are teaching and preaching false doctrines. Judgment will come, but as things stand at the moment, the number of true believers is measured in the scale of a couple of million. And they're dying off by the day because most of them are seniors. And Father has said to me that unless something radical changes on the earth, within 100 years there will be no believers left. So we're looking at a very different picture to that which Yeshua anticipated when he was on the earth. Chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 Bethula virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those Bethula rose and trimmed their lamps. Bethula is Hebrew for virgin in the King James. It's a girl at puberty, sexually mature, ready for marriage. As previously stated, modern society is not oriented to marriage at this age, and people are not prepared for it. Note that this man was going to marry 10 women at the same time. This speaks to Yeshua returning for his bride, the body of believers, where he will marry more than one person at the same time. The lamps and oil speak of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, where only anointed believers in right standing and filled with the Spirit will qualify to meet Yeshua. Folks, there's a lot you can draw from this passage, one of which is that Yah designed human beings such that more than one woman can covenant with one man. But we've lost sight of how to do that these days, so very few people can do that successfully. And that we need to be ready in season and out of season. Verse 8, And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other Bethuelah, saying, Adonai, Adonai, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Adam cometh. So another warning for folks to be prepared at all times for Yeshua to return. Verse 14, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his lord's money. After a long time the lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So that he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained them, beside them 5 talents more. His lord said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee to be that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not stored. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For to every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Talents speak to the gifts given to each person by Yah, which can vary greatly. See the article Angelo, a hearing impaired beggar on a high throne in heaven, on the website. This speaks to someone who comes to belief and then does nothing more. Such a person will end up in the outer darkness in heaven, banished from the throne room, a cold, dark, terrible place, the trash heap of heaven, with weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. Note that Yah, when he designed heaven, did not anticipate such people, so he made no provision for them, and they are of necessity cast out of the throne room. So, folks, there's a really important piece here. Each one of us receives certain abilities, certain talents, certain gifts, be it love, be it whatever. And we will be judged according to, and this is, folks, just to be clear, this is to believers, this is not to unbelievers. We will be judged according to what we did with those talents. So if you are really close to Father, you're an anointed one, you know him, you love him, he's blessed you, but you don't do anything with it. You don't go out and share the message with others. You don't do something tangible, something concrete for his glory, for his to give him back of what he's given to you. You can say, I love him, etc., 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 but if you don't do something to evidence your love, it's pretty futile. 31. When the Son of Adam shall come in his kavod, glory, and all the set-apart messengers with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his kavod. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer them and say, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Then shall he say also to them on the left, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his messengers. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And then shall they also answer him, saying, Adonai, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? And then shall he answer to them, saying, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So it's important in considering this, as a lot of people take this to an extreme. Good works towards the poor are important, but they're not necessarily sufficient to qualify for a high throne in heaven. The unbelievers, who are by default Satan, servants of Satan, will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where in a moment of torment and terror they will be totally obliterated. It is my understanding that they will be utterly destroyed in the lake of fire and brimstone following the final judgment. So there's some sobering things there, folks. Chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Yeshua had finished all these sayings, he said to his followers, You know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Adam is betrayed to be executed. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people to the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiapha, and consulted that they might take Yeshua by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Yeshua was executed on a stake, not on a cross. Caiaphas in the King James. So folks, here again we see that Yeshua was fully aware of and prepared for what was about to happen. He knew he was to be betrayed. He knew who was going to betray him. Just really important, as I've said before, don't get into a space of saying that the Jews killed Jesus. Yeshua was a Yehudite. Verse 6, Now when Yehoshua was in Bethania, in the house of Shimon the leper, there came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his followers saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Yeshua understood it, he said to them, Why trouble you the woman? She has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this good news shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. So again, we see Yeshua preparing for his death and trying his best to warn his followers of what was about to happen. He knew how he was going to die, when he was going to die. And I spoke at length about this last week. Then one of the 12 called Yehuda from Kirioth, Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said to them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, so just important to see this. Here's a man who has seen Yeshua perform numerous miracles. And because for some reason he's offended, possibly because he was expecting Yeshua to come as a human king and defeat the Romans and throw them out of Israel. Maybe he was offended, he was the treasurer, so maybe he was offended that the ointment was poured on Yeshua's head and not sold. For whatever reason, he decides to betray his master. And that's an archetype of the way that people with incomplete understanding and incomplete knowledge of the ways of Father betray Father with their doctrines. Continuing verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the followers came to Yeshua, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say to him, 'The master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my followers.' And the followers did as Yeshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say to you, that one of you shall betray me.' And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, 'Adonai, is it I?' And he answered and he said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The son of Adam goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the son of Adam is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Yehuda, which betrayed him, answered and said, 'Master, is it I?' And he said to him, 'Thou hast said.'" So there we see that Yeshua knew even down to the individual who was going to betray him. By the Spirit, he knew who it was. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the followers and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with my Father in my Father's kingdom." So, folks, this is a really key piece. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So a couple of pieces here. Yeshua knew that he was going to die in front of the cliff face at Golgotha, the place of the skull. He knew that the stake that he would die on would be planted in a hole directly over the Ark of the Covenant, which had been hidden by Jeremiah at the time of the Babylonian invasion, something like 600 years previously, and that he was going to institute a new covenant. And he was making it simple, saying, "Here's a cup of wine, and I prophetically, I declare that this is my blood." And in doing that, he first of all foretold the exact manner in which he was to die, the fact that he knew that something would happen, that his blood would fall on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which was necessary for the introduction of the new covenant. See the article on the website, "The Miracle of Yeshua's Death." And He gave us a simple way to come before Yah and say, Father, I have sinned in such and such a way. I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. And as I take this blood of the covenant, this cup of red grape juice or red wine, I thank you that you forgive me. And so we go from an old covenant in terms of which it was necessary to bring, depending on your wealth, an ox or a cow or a sheep or a goat or a chicken or a dove without spot or blemish to be slaughtered on the altar and their blood to be drawn out and offered to Yah for the redemption of sin. And the temple was corrupt, the priesthood was corrupt, the rituals were no longer valid because the Ark of the Covenant was not in the temple and hadn't been there in the Herodian temple ever, because it was hidden by Jeremiah, as I said a minute ago, in this cave under the hill Golgotha. And so the whole priesthood was corrupt because there was no way to ordain a new high priest because there was no Ark of the Covenant. So it was all a farce. And Yeshua comes and he institutes a new covenant and a new way of honoring the covenant. Verse 30, and when they had sung a song, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Then saith Yeshua to them, all you shall stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Kepha answered and said to him, though all men shall stumble because of thee, yet I will never stumble. Yeshua said to him, verily I say to thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Kepha said to him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise said all his followers. So Kepha, Simon Peter, didn't stand up to his word. And we'll read about that next week. Then cometh Yeshua with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the followers, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Kepha and the two sons of Zabdi, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So this is evidence of the deep humanity of Yeshua. He clearly knew what was about to happen, that he was obedient even unto a terrible death. Remember that he'd lived his life without sin even once. He did not have to die. Yah, let your will be done is a vital principle of true submission to Yah. If you're in a situation and you really don't know the correct outcome, and frankly, even if you think you do know the correct outcome, pray, Father, let your will be done in this situation. Focus on doing Father's will. So we're in the leading up to Yeshua being betrayed, tortured, sentenced to death, nailed to the stake, dying a terrible death, his blood running down onto the Ark of the Covenant, new covenant being inducted. And that was roughly 2,000 years ago. Fast forward to 2024, planet Earth. What we've seen over the last few hundred years is a massive resurgence of Christianity, with a lot of true believers in Christianity, but a lot of error in terms of the names, the doctrines, the worship of Jesus, saying that Jesus is God, the Bible is the Word of God, and so forth. That culminated in May 3003, when Satan was arrested, brought before the court of heaven, charged with his crimes against humanity, and sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit for his sin. And that's where he is today. The key thing to realize that was another key milestone. Many people were called to do what was done on the 3rd of May 2003, but they were all disobedient. So great men and women of God didn't get the message. They continued to call Yah the Lord and God instead of Yah and the Almighty, and Yeshua Jesus instead, Yeshua Jesus, and to say that Jesus is God and worship Jesus, and to say the Bible is the Word of God, and effectively by so doing worship the Bible. And they've been rejected. It's a new dispensation once more. So the dispensation changed when Yeshua died, because the Yehudites didn't get the significance of his passing. It changed again in May 2003 when the Christian church did not get the significance of what happened, because pretty much nobody was aware of it. It happened very quietly, happened in private. There was no shouting from the rooftops or anything. Nevertheless, the dispensation changed. As in the case with Yeshua's death, people did not know that the Ark of the Covenant was under the execution site. People did not know that his blood flowed onto the Ark of the Covenant. People did not know that a new covenant had been inducted. So it is today. Today, the dispensation is about a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. If you don't have a deep personal relationship with Yah, you're missing the point of your existence. We were created to be friends of Yah. He went to all this great trouble and fine creative detail to create the universe, the solar system, planet Earth, the animals, the plants, and ultimately us human beings, with one purpose and one purpose only: to be his friends. Almost nobody understands that. Very few people are trying to get to that place. If you go to my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, you'll find a whole lot of information. The key thing is that all terms of inheritance have fallen away. Yah today is looking for friends amongst every people group on the planet. It does not matter if you're African, Asian, European, American, Indian, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Baha'i or Buddhist or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic Christian or Protestant Christian. Yah wants a deep personal relationship with you. Not the person to the left or the right or in front or behind or above and below, whatever. He wants a deep personal relationship with you. Even if you're an out-and-out Satanist, and a witch or a warlock or whatever, he will wash away your sin. If you will come to him and say, Father Yah, I want to become your friend. I believe that you exist. I choose to serve you for the rest of my life. And I thank you that you will meet me wherever I am and take me by the hand and lead me and show me what to read, what to pray, what to do. Bring people into my life who can help me. Take the people out of my life who are getting in the way of my relationship with you. And then start a journey. Let me know. I'll be happy to help you. So at this point, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you now come to belief, please pray along the following lines. Father, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief and repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me to find people who can help me. Help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief in the Creator for the first time, during which there is extreme grace to help you. See the article Critical Actions on First Belief for actions you should take immediately. Drop me an email at james@endtimeissueministries.org so that I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. So, folks, if you have at some stage prayed to Jesus to save you, I'm sorry to have to tell you, it was a waste of breath. Jesus can't save you. Even Yahushua can't save you. Yahushua's name means Yah is salvation. Only Yah can save you. So if you prayed to Jesus, I strongly recommend that you pray the prayer that I've just given. This broadcast will be up on LinkedIn. It's being streamed live on LinkedIn. If you search for it, it'll be up on YouTube in an hour or two. I will publish it on the ministry website, endtimeissueministries.org, around about 10, 11 o'clock this Saturday, UK time, the Saturday following this. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I'm going to say goodnight in a moment to those of you who are regulars, those of you who are here for the first one or two times. there's some other information I'd like to share with you, so I'd like you to ask you to hold on and for another couple of minutes. So the key point, folks, you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, can take a decision right now to believe in the Creator and seek a deep relationship with Him. There's a huge amount of material on my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, to help you. And as I say, email me and I'll help you. I'll give you advice by email. I have a WhatsApp. I have a whole lot of people on WhatsApp that I message things to on a periodic basis. And I would love to help you to get there. So for those who are dropping off, I'm going to say good night. For those of you who are here for the first or second time, please hold on. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video Why Seek Relationship for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at endtimeissueministries.org for a lot of information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the website. See the ETI Bible version page near the top of the website. For recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about 4 podcast websites with all the back issues. More recent back issues also on LinkedIn, YouTube, etc. The transcripts are on the transcripts of broadcast page on the website, and with that, most of the recordings as well. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are on the Books for Printing page. Publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel, prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. So, folks, I'm going to say good night. I hope to see you again on this program next week. Good night.
Father, I come to you.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you understand about the history of Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ, and what you know about the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. If you're not aware of the life and teachings of Yeshua, then please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com Internet Radio or Talk4TV.com Internet TV. Also, visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Goodbye.